K1037 aims to bring Ganawage an informative, community-oriented, and diverse talk show. To ensure a wide range of opinions, K1037 reserves the right to screen calls. Guests' opinions are not necessarily those of the radio station or its management. Now, Dede Wataran, all of us are talking on the Party Line Talk Show on K1037.
And welcome to Dede Wataran Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Lance Stacy, and today our topic is we're going to be talking straight talk on education. And joining me in the studio are Deidre Diome, chairperson of the Ganawage Combined School Committee, as well as elder advisor Nancy Deer. Welcome, ladies, to the show. I guess we'll start off, maybe, Nancy, with a little bit of background and where we're at, and then we'll slide right into most of the topics. And there's some very nice heated ones, so we'll get to that as well.
It's going to be a rockin' talk show.
All right.
Hi. Everyone knows me as Nancy Deer, and everyone knows me as hopefully as one of the founders of one of the greatest accomplishments that this community has ever made, historical event of the establishment of the Ganawage Survival School. I'm very proud that I was part of it. On the committee, I was on for 10 years from 1975 to 1986. I saw many, many changes in the community with the survival school, with the Mohawk immersion, with the establishment of the Ganawage Education Center. We went from an advisory board very quickly to an administrative board. And as we, for those 10 years that we were there, you know, there was a lot of work that was done. And of course, a lot of work wouldn't have been done without the community support, the parents, and that it was time that the community wanted to bring their children home. And they wanted to have a high school here, and they wanted to teach their children our culture, our language, our history, and that's been the goal since the beginning, and it's still the goal. And I guess I volunteered to come on this show today to show my appreciation for the work that's being done in the past. I mean, you know, 40 years of Ganawage controlling their education, there was many ups and downs. Indian control of Indian education came in 1972, In 1977, Jeanine Bova, the late Jeanine Bova, and Philip Deering wrote a feasibility study. And that came out in 77. We didn't even have time as a committee, as a community, as a school system to analyze the recommendations because of survival school. What happened is that we lived it. We lived the recommendations so that it was very, very, it was a lot of work. And the work continues. You know, we've been called in. When I first met Deidre was when the school committee got suspended in 2012, I believe. And there was a lot of concern for the parents. There was a lot of concern for the founding members of the survival school, that education was always in the hands of the parents, and that, you know, unilaterally there was a crisis, and that crisis led to their suspension. So we got on board supporting the school committee, supporting the education center, and Deidre became involved as a parent volunteer, and who eventually worked on the constitution review team, and then was elected to the combined schools committee and became their chairperson. So I've seen the work, you know, since 2012, and I saw the work previous. We were called in 2009 by Eddie Cross. The school committee and the education center hired Connie Malush. We had a crisis going on which in our school system, where 50% of the parents were sending their children to outside schools. So there was a concern at the education center that and the school committee that's going to affect budgeting, it's going to affect teaching staff, it's going to affect curriculum, professional development. If so many of our 50% of our kids are not in our local schools. So Connie did an exhaustive study where she got input from parents who send their kids out, parents who send their kids here, students, former school committee members, and the community at large. And really what it came down to is getting the concerns of the parents and addressing them. They had concerns about academics and how their children would succeed in going into a high school or post-secondary should they choose to go there. So I think the school committee and the education center had to take a very serious look at some of the weaknesses that we had in the system, whereby parents were sending their children out. That's not a phenomenon that happens. I know that, you know, one of the reasons why I'm here is it's very disheartening and disappointing to hear what's happening now in education and these are people that supported us. These are teachers that supported us. And I know that hopefully, you know, I could address that I'm very concerned, and that because there's possibly lack of communication and there's lots of fear out there. And I'd like to address that, and I like to become part of the solution. So giving my input is so important to me because that's been my passion for over 40 years of supporting the parents, also supporting the teachers. I can understand that they have issues. I think that it shouldn't be brought into the public domain, but it has. And my opinion of what has been on Facebook, is on Facebook, is concerning to me because social media bashing, bullying is a phenomenon that has very dire consequences. We've already had it in our community many times. Just recently, you know, an MCK employee got fired because of that. So institutions like the education center have policies, have always had policies. When we first started, Geraldine was stand up was on the committee with us. And Geraldine got off the committee and she wrote policies, because we knew that as you're developing a school that you need policies that help protect the student population, the parents, and good management, you know, standards of operations, those needed to be in place. And our teaching staff, you know, we're the second largest employees after the bank council, and we only had one person in HR, okay? And so many years ago with FNEA, they had to take a hard look at what we needed to if FNEA, that First Nations Education Act from Harper government, we knew that we didn't want that because that was another assimilation policy. But then we had to take a hard look at ourselves and evaluate, look at all the studies that was done before by Eddie Cross, by Connie, to see where we needed to go, where we needed to improve. And that's the point, I believe, that where the Education Center is now. And because we were asked to come in, we've been asked to come in many years before. In 2005 or 6 or 7, when the new school was being built, we were asked to come in and meet with the committee. We would give them the history or whatever concerns that they wanted to know about how we got the land, how we progressed into Mohawk immersion, and all the other things that are important to us. It was good that somebody wanted to hear our experiences, and we were happy to share those experiences. We were also called in, of course, for the FNEA, and for many other. Laura and I both sat on the steering committee when Connie did her study, and those recommendations, you know, they ring a bell. I went back to Indian Control of Indian Education, and I pulled out those recommendations, and they all had to do with curriculum development, hiring researchers, hiring professionals, because at the time, we were just controlling our education. All our teachers were under federal. Eventually, we took over the federal schools. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done and needed to be planned, and that was in the recommendations of Indian Control of Indian Education, that we look at language arts, we look at math, we look at the academics, along with teaching the base of our schools. Policy, our vision is to learn our language, our culture, and our history, and that's what we're still doing. And those are growing pains now, reviewing policies that haven't been reviewed in a long, long time. For example, HR policies. Looking at the technology that's in Kahnawake right now with social media, we know that that presents a problem all over the world. You have the president who's, you know, goes crazy on social media, calling down, and nobody blinks an eye, you know, and it's very serious to us here in Kahnawake that we would welcome face-to-face, we would welcome people coming and sitting down and hearing what actually is true and what actually is rumor. And personal attacks, believe me, hurts, and hurts families and hurts people who are in the schools, and doesn't do any good. And so that's why I'm here. I'm supporting the school committee. I will always support the school committee. I see the work that they do. And if there's people out there that are not satisfied, you know, come with solutions, come with ideas so we can all work together.
Okay, thank you, Nancy, for the opening for this, and we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. This Sunday, November 25th, Restaurante La Vista is hosting its first cider tasting event. Come discover some of Quebec's best ciders at Ganawage's newest hidden gem located on the Mystic Pine Golf Course. From 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., savor the different varieties of ciders from staple and up-and-coming producers. Foodies will be delighted with chartouilles and oysters served all day. Don't miss out. Be part of the unique experience. Tickets available online and at the door. All profits for this event will go to Ganawage's library. For more information on Restaurante La Vista, check out its Facebook page. And welcome back to Day the Watarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Len Stacy, and today my guests in studio with me are Elder Advisor Nancy Deer, as well as Deidre Diome, Chair of the Ganawage Combined School Committee. And we're talking straight talk on education. And I guess as Nancy was telling us a little bit about the history and that, I think the school system has basically evolved. I've been following what's been going on in the community for the past 2 weeks, and Nancy, you hit it right. A lot of the talk really was specifically targeted to individual people. I don't think people are complaining about the system or how it's going. There's just some things that are not quite right, and I guess that was the rationale for this talk show, to try and clear it up for people, because I think it's still on track, and if anything, and I have to commend, the school system has gotten stronger and a lot better than it had been. No complaints in the past. It just evolved to where it needed to be. So I guess, Deidre, I'm going to ask you, because you and I talked about some of the possible areas, and I'll be honest, a lot of the target basically comes down at you.
I'm just
calling it, you know what it is. I'm not, you know.
Absolutely. And you know what? We had an all-day meeting last week, and we were talking about, and this is a team meeting. Like, we have team meetings where there's maybe 8-10 of us in a meeting. And we were saying, well, how are we going to address some of the issues that are coming up in the community? How are we going to build understanding and communication? And for a while, because there were so many really, you know, severe attacks on me personally, initially the feeling was that, you know, maybe we won't have Deidre in the spotlight because people are attacking her, so we're going to step forward and we're going to say the truth. But on Friday I said, listen, everybody, the best person to protect Deidre is me. You know, I'm a true-hearted volunteer. I believe so much in the work that we've all been doing, and I think that honesty, you know, if you put me on, I'm gonna go after all of the tough questions that I know people want to ask. And I think that when you hear me and you hear my explanation, then all of a sudden the rumor starts to break down, and the whole kind of I think the truth ends up coming out. Now, I wanted to say, I've been a volunteer my entire life. When I was 16, I volunteered at the SPCA downtown to clean cages because I loved animals. I became a volunteer at the hospital because I cared about elders. I wrote my first proposal, a $25,000 proposal, to develop an organic garden for the elders at the Cater Memorial Hospital Center when I was roughly 20 years old. I then became a volunteer lunch monitor at Step by Step because I loved kids. They then offered, and I became a volunteer teaching assistant. Then for several years, I was actually a paid teaching assistant. For over 10 years, I ended up working and volunteering, doing mommy baby groups, and really just always interested in education and kids. Now, I know I'm going to go through some of the things, you know, we don't have to wait for the calls to come in. I know all the hot button topics by heart. People will say, well, who are you to say anything about education because your kids didn't go to school here? And this takes me back to a phone call I got during the whole combined school committee issue. I had finished my, let's say, volunteer work at Step by Step. For years, I volunteered with minor hockey. I was the president of minor hockey. Then I was, I volunteered for lacrosse. I created a lacrosse festival. All volunteer, just like trying to help. And when Nancy called me, actually, she said, you know, the school committee is in a bind, and your husband's mother was on the school committee. Can you come out to a meeting and support the school committee? And I sat in the meeting, and what I thought was, everybody's right here, you know, in this mess. There's mistakes on all sides and goodwill on all sides. And I started volunteering, like Nancy said, you know, working on the Constitution Review Committee. And then eventually, you know, they were all saying, hey, you know, why don't you join the committee? And I did. And I worked very hard to protect the rights of the Combined School Committee. I was part of camping out to get the rights of the school committee back in the parents' hands. I, after that, worked really, really hard on the stopping the First Nations Education Act. And I'll be honest, and I would say this. People say, oh, well, you don't send your kids to school in town. But you know what? I still love my community. And if I didn't send my kids to school here, it's because, you know, at the time in 1989, which is a long time ago, I did have concerns about the education. I did have concerns that the core subjects were not strong. For me, as a traditional person, you know, my grandfather was a Kundal chief on my father's side. On my mother's side, my grandfather was a medicine person. We were always raised traditional. So for me, we always had a strong sense of identity where I didn't necessarily feel I had to rely on schools to teach that part. Unfortunately, there was a price to pay where, no, my kids couldn't jump on their bikes and go to school in town, where they missed their language and they missed that cohesion of being part of here. And so what did I, you know, looking now, my kids are all mostly graduated. I have one left, a senior in high school. And what I said was, maybe it didn't work for me in my day, which was a long time ago, but so many great changes have come since then. And why not use my energy to do good? Like, instead of complaining and saying it's not what I thought it should be, instead I rolled my sleeves up and I said, I'm going to invest and I'm going to be part of the solution. You know, I'm not going to call and bash and say, you know, what's wrong? I'm going to say, what can I do to help? And unfortunately, so if people want to know my perspective on that, there you have it. You know, I have two grandchildren now that go to Gurianuha, and my kids ask me, oh, where are the twins going to go to high school? And I said, well, I hope they're going to go to KSS. I really hope that's the goal, that everything we're doing is to make our system better for all of us. So
I have a question from a listener. So if you're a volunteer, do you pull any kind of paycheck from the education center at all?
Absolutely nothing. And I don't get honorariums myself. I don't get gifts. I get nothing. You know, I'll tell you, I remember, I thought about it this morning, the night before the FNEA passed, and I had worked week in and week out, and there weren't many of us. Honestly, the elders were some of the most consistent people. We didn't have a lot of parents. Our little working group was maybe five of us. You know, Alex McCumber, the elders, myself, and Louis John. And I remember being so exhausted because I worked so hard. And I said, what is going to happen if we lose and they pass this legislation and we never get the chance to realize all the dreams? And the thing that was really awesome to me when I did all that work was working with the elders. And what I came to realize is all the things that I wanted for my kids was what they wanted. They wanted the best core curriculum academics. They wanted culture. They wanted them to learn on the land. You know, like for me with my kids at home, my kids farm chickens. They have had a garden since they were in elementary school. You know, we bring them up north. They know how to work with their hands on the land. They understand the Ahandugariwadekwa. They understand all those things. So when I would talk to the elders, I felt so much like we all want the same thing. You know, so when that First Nations Education Act, I remember thinking, well, you know what? Even if it passes, I know I have given everything I have to try to protect the system. And And I have felt very proud of the work that I do. You know, I feel like, I think that if I was a man and I was as strong as I am in my convictions, people would say, oh, he's so strong and wonderful. And I think there is a bit of bias that because I'm a woman and I sometimes stand strong on issues, that there's a discomfort. I think there is a degree of sexism. There's a degree of misunderstanding. You know, what are other things? Let's go to the rumors.
Just hang on one second. I have another question for you from a listener. Does Nancy receive a stipend for her appearances?
This is something, and I hope we're going to get through the rest. We're going to get through the rest of the explanations. But somebody did bring this up to me last week, and I have to say, what happened is someone called me and they said, "Well, how do we replace the chair?" You know, those are the questions coming into the combined. How do we get you out? And then the next question was, well, how do we get the elders out? How do we replace them? And I was shocked by that line of conversation because I found it was so disrespectful, you know, to be that blunt. And what happened is, in all the years that Nancy and Joe and Laura and Lorna worked for us, they never received a stipend until, I would say, the past maybe 2 years, when they have worked like big days. Like, let's say they work all day with us on legislation, we do give an honorarium. And I think the implication of what the person was trying to say was like, more or less, you're paid, so that's why you're taking the position that you do. And I feel like that's so disrespectful. You know, if I look at these people who gave their entire lives, where now we're in a position where we can give a very small honorarium, a stipend, to our elders, and we also give it to our medicine people, to our traditional healers, that is the Ungwehungwe way. That why should we always be willing to pay consultants or pay professionals, but when we bring our own people in who have their own wisdom, that's the kind of question we get. So, you know, there's the answer. Not like if Nancy's here today, Nancy will not get an honorarium for coming for a lunchtime visit. But if there are times where they're giving many hours of time, we will give an honorarium. And I think that goes everywhere in the community.
Okay, I have another question for you. Why was $250,000 paid out in honorariums in the last 5 years?
I don't know the full scope of the full budget. That would be a question for the Director of Finance and Administration, but certainly within the Combined School Committee, we do not have that. That's like some kind of phenomenal number. There has to be some kind of reason. I'm guessing it might be consultant pays. I'm not sure what he does, but to kind of, I know there's a person who applied, who came to the combined, that went to the director and asked for the last 10 years of financial records. And again, we all sit there and we say, there's no financial mismanagement. Like, where is this? I can't help but I feel like there's like kind of an implication that we're doing something wrong. And what I have to say to people is, categorically, there is no financial mismanagement. If people thought we were being paid, you know, I think somebody should actually talk to my husband about that, because he's always ready to pull his hair out because Deidre can't be there because she's volunteering.
So I guess, can we get to some of the other issues? Okay. Because I think it's important, because I'm getting questions, and okay.
But I think what's good about those questions is those are the rumors that go on in the community where they say, oh, she's paid, that's why she does this. No, sorry. It's not true. It's a rumor. So looking at this, there were some big issues that came up that I thought, but first I want to say, we know our staff, our teachers, our administrators, our volunteers, our everybody who works at the ASO office, our curriculum team, our HR team, our personnel team, everybody is working for the community in the best interests, and I have to thank everybody. Now, sometimes when you want to bring about change, people automatically assume that what you're trying to say is that what you are is bad, and what I'm trying to do is make you good. No, that's not true. You know, even for me, I go for training that I pay for myself, okay? Our directors go for training because there's an understanding at all levels we can all improve. So saying we need to develop is not an insult to anybody. It's a support. You know, it's kind of like bringing in funds and experiences to help our staff all grow. And you know, I put a post up, and it actually wasn't totally related to this. It was a black woman on the inner city. And the title of the article, it was a TED Talk, was Building Broken Schools. And I loved it because of the woman in her community and her passion. Well, the rumor became, Deidre thinks our schools are broken. That's why she posted a TED Talk. Oh my God, she's so awful. You know, and that was everywhere in the community. So I want to even throw that in there, that so many things people are misconstruing. So let's get to the topic. Thank you to all our wonderful staff. Now, one of the first issues, where did a lot of stress start? ADP. People in education will know what that is. The idea was to transfer the tracking of hours and payroll from a paper system to an electronic system. Louis John did research and found a system that he thought was going to be fabulous, that was going to simplify people's lives, that now we're in a digital age trying to modernize education to get us into technology, that you could check in now on your phone, that it would reduce cost to the education system. Now, what happened is people felt very upset about the change. I think two of our schools were kind of okay with it. They had a lot of questions, but, you know, if you look at one of our schools, was very against it, that this was a punch card system, that they were going to be able to be tracked like Big Brother. And anyway, it caused a lot of stress with staff. Looking at it, we all sat together and self-reflected and said, what can we do going forward? So we know what we did. We all went to ADCAR training, change management training. And what they said is, what we all learned in the training is, we have to get better at communication. And this is part of why we're doing the campaign, to make sure we're communicating. Because what the training tells us, if you don't tell people what's happening, they're going to create what they think is happening. So the training is what we did for ADCAR, but something I have to recognize is that in the year after the payroll system, it did impact people's pays, and there were irregularities in staff salaries, and that was very understandably upsetting to staff. And I have to say, even though I'm not in operations and I didn't roll it out, that I would apologize to any staff members who were stressed by that, and that if that made people's lives difficult, well, you have to own things sometimes, and I think we have to own that.
Okay, you're listening to K1037, Data with Arda, Party Line Talk Show. Welcome back to Data with Arda, Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Len Stacy, and joining me in studio is the chair of Gunawalge Combined School Committee, Deidre Dielm, as well as Elder Advisor Nancy Deer. And we're talking straight talk on education. And I know, Deidre, there are several other topics that seem to have coming out. If we could get to... okay, here, I have a question. Ken, the questions are coming in. Why did the Combined School Committee go on a 3-day board training trip and paid by the Education Center?
Board training is actually very common. And actually, let me go further back. When there was the whole problem with the Donna LaHash issue, what the community said in the consultation and all the feedback was that if you're going to take parents and put them on a board and have them responsible for things, that they are going to have to be trained. Okay. So over the past 5 years, we have received multiple trainings. We've received training in finance to make sure that we're very strong in reading the finance report. We have done HR training. The three-day training was actually the ADCAR training, which was the change management, and it wasn't the entire combined school committee. It was the people who were in charge of director supervision. So there were three members of the combined who went along with the directors and with two members of senior management. And again, the directive for the training actually came from the community and the parents to say, if you want to be a volunteer, you have to be qualified to some degree to be able to supervise. So actually, even though it might be thrown as a as a dagger, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm proud. I'm proud that we have been taking steps, and actually we have even put in our legislation that if you bring in members from the community, that they have to do board training. And I had a young man, a post-secondary student, who called me and he said, well, you know, I have no experience with anything, but I'm interested in joining the combined school committee, a young 20-year-old post-secondary student. And I said to him, I said, listen, you know, all you need is a good heart, you need some time, and you need to care about the community, and we'll get you the training and the support that you need.
I'm glad you said that, because I did have a comment from a community member. Do the ones who are doing the complaining do any volunteering themselves? And I guess as a volunteer, I know that wholeheartedly, because I take a beating on some of the boards and committees I sit on as well.
Well, I have to say, what we because people say, well, oh, you're monitoring. We're being monitored on social media. Honestly, nobody monitors. And you know what? In my space, in my friend group on social media, I don't see any of this. What happens is we have members of the KEC staff who support what's happening in administration, who support the combined school committee, and they send snaps of all the nasty things that people are writing, and they submit them. So you might feel like I'm going to write this really vicious thing here, and I'm going to get a lot of likes, but you don't realize there are some people who don't agree with what you're doing. What we've noticed is a lot of the people who are leading this kind of campaign are not parents. If I look at who is posting and who is, they are not parents. They don't have kids in the education system. And I think in some areas, there are people who maybe who were disgruntled because they weren't hired for a specific job, or people who may have left the organization in a bad way. And unfortunately, those darker kind of, you know, where I look at something and I see the good in it, and they look at it and they say, oh, you spent our money on training. Oh, you're giving money to our elders. Well, yes, we are. And no apologies.
I'd like to remind people who are asking about honorariums that it's my belief that all the boards and committees in the community are all volunteer. And if, like in the past, you know, like the honorariums became available, they were offered to us, and we deeply appreciated it because it's a lot of work. I've never heard anything about Social Security and all that, you know, that they don't want to mess up the Social Security. I don't know where that comes from, but from my personal experience, you know, the 10 years that I was on, you know, it was all volunteer. We would take trips to Ottawa, to Quebec, Massachusetts, to get teachers to come and teach at survival school, to do interviews. Me and another committee member and my children went. And, you know, if I got gas money, I was lucky. You know, so there are provisions for volunteers.
Okay, so now I want to address something, okay, because I know it was out there. People were saying, oh, Deidre is the chair and she hired her daughter to be the vice principal at KSS. And actually, it wasn't just that. There was so much hatred. Deidre is the queen of the combined school committee and she corruptly gave her hand at her daughter a job. And I want to clarify, you know, the job for the vice principal, and the reason is this to protect my daughter? No. It is because as chairperson, my credibility has been attacked, and it makes it look like the combined and the KEC administration are corrupt organization and that people can do things like that. You know, when that position was posted, I really had nothing to do with it because I just didn't. I was working on other things. I saw the posting go up. It went out one time. The job position did not change. The posting did not change. My daughter came home one day and said, you know what, Mommy? I think I want to go and apply for that position. And honestly, two things came to mind. One was, there's so much change that we know is going to come to KSS this year, and there's going to be a lot of pushback. We know it. We know when you try to bring in change that people resist. What do I want my daughter in the middle of, you know, a lot of bad feelings? And so part of me as her mother was, oh, you know, do you understand how much stress is going to be put on you if you apply for that job? Then the other half of me said, well, my goodness, you know, here she is, an Ivy League grad who has a psychology degree, who has everything to do a good job in that position. And so what happened is I notified Robin right away. I called her and I said, Robin, I'm in a conflict of interest when it comes to hiring. I do not want to have anything to do with the hiring process. So anything that's happened is without me. So she said, that's absolutely fine. Thank you for advising us. And after that, the entire process, there was a committee that was established, and they are the ones who made the decision to make the hire of the vice principal. Now, what ended up getting tied to that? Now, in my view, this is my opinion. I may or may not be right. I think that there are people in the system or in the community who believe that, you know, I'm working with Robin and Louis John, and that my daughter being there would be like some kind of mole in there that would penetrate KSS, and that it would be a negative thing, or there was some kind of pushback. I try to think, maybe I'm wrong, but when I look at the vile things that people wrote about her and about me, I try to make sense. Like, where is this coming from? Where is this? And I know a lot of it is one rumor rolls into another. Did you know this? They did this and they did that. That all of a sudden it's like a conspiracy. So, you know, even when we went, so it started in June, and it went all the way through until I would say last week, where people were saying right to her in an in-school committee meeting, who are you to talk? You're not qualified to hold this job. And this is something that I did get cleared from Robin. I would really like the community to know that the vice principal that is there right now has more qualifications that are relative to the position than the last four vice principals that have held that position. That in the past four vice principals who have held those positions, not one of them had a bachelor's of education, not one of them. And what happens in education is the degree that is the closest in terms of being compatible to a bachelor of education is in fact a bachelor of psychology. Now, does she have all the experience in school? No. But something again that people don't realize is the last four people that were hired there also had gaps. Okay? And if you look at everybody we hire in Ganawage right now, we have always put our own people first. And we hire people, and we know we have to support them and grow them into that position. So for whatever reason, there was nothing different about her hire than anybody else, and there was no corruption. And do people feel it's a conflict of interest? For me as chair, she is four levels away from me. You know, Eddie Cross was the director of education for his entire life, and his wife was a teacher. We had Esther who had family members. We have in our community of our size, you are going to have relatives who will work in the same organization. You know, I think people use that as a weapon, unfortunately.
Okay, I have a question for you, though. It's tied into this. Caller says that locals passed over for job given to non-native with lower credentials, and added to that is why
let's go after this. You know what this is? The hiring of Erlen Sharp.
Yes, because it says why okay. Is there a life coach hired as a principal? Why
let's go after this. You know what this is? The hiring of Erlen Sharp.
Yes, because it says why okay. Is there a life coach hired as a principal?
Okay, That's funny. So this leads into, okay, when I said we historically have always hired our own people and we have worked to build their capacity, or what the aspiration or the hope is that we're going to build capacity, that's absolutely true, and it's what we want to continue to do. Right now, we fully support the Raduwene Niritz program, where we have Mohawk speakers who come out. They don't have teaching certificates. They don't have bachelor's degrees. We will continue to hire them and support them because we need them. We have elders who work in our school. We have some people, and what you have to real, what you have to think of when you think of qualifications, that it's not just the letter behind your name. When hiring committees are made, you look at your experience, your personality, how you did on the job interview, where you previously worked, your references. You look at the degree, you look at any specializations, where there are huge, it's a huge piece that you look at. You look at the whole person. So we might hire somebody with less of a degree, or we might hire somebody with more, depending on the whole person. Okay. Now, the hiring committees have very strict guidelines and look at the whole picture. So when it comes to positions like teachers, teachers' assistants, vice principals, principals, we have, it, the other thing we've done is we've always taken our people and put them into positions, and we've taken even our teachers and put them in positions of administration, knowing that the what a teacher and what an administrator is very different. An administrator has to have a financial background, a management background. They have to know how to evaluate teams. They have to understand curriculum. It's a really, really heavy, it's a heavy job description to be a leader in a school. But what we have done is we have taken people who are teachers who don't have all those degrees, and we've put them in those positions. Now, when you look at the student and parent consultations, and when you look at our evaluations, okay, what we see is, what we see consistently from the blueprint to the 2009 to the present parent consultation to the evaluations of program services is that we do have gaps. By hiring our own people for so long, and that not everybody has the technical skills, and that education has changed, our special needs population has really surged. Now, how you address special needs, language acquisition, evaluation, curriculum is so technical now that a lot of the people that we have hired, even if they've been here forever, never acquired these skills. We didn't have the money in the past to build their capacity. So what we did is we sat down and we created an organizational structure, kind of looking at how are we going to support all of these new Mohawk people in. And what we did is we decided that the associate director position would be hired as a capacity building position, that job had to now become the motor to build the capacity of all three schools to work with the principals, the vice principals, the student services team, because that was the one position that they had to have all the skills. So when people say that that position was filled by a counselor, that's absolutely false. Actually, what Erlen has is a double master's in education. The double master's is one in leader and management, psychology. She has a bachelor's degree of education. She has a Minister of Education Brevet certification. She has a special education certificate. She has a certificate in administration and management, a certificate in coaching, a public speaking certificate. She is a certified naturopath, homeopath, and mental health specialist, and she has neuro-linguistic programming consultant certification. So the qualifications that she had were so, and the fact that we knew she taught and she worked at, and she was a principal, a teacher, a vice principal, a vocational teacher. I'm trying to go fast. And what happened is we have a proven record of the amazing things that she did at Gurunya Nuha. And even though people continually say we had people who were qualified, equally qualified, it is not true. There was one person who was by far the strongest candidate, and what we said is, because this is the engine, is this the position we can afford to build capacity? Like, we bring one of our own people in and we gradually teach them the job. And again, I have approval from Robin to say, in some areas, the schools are in a kind of crisis situation where there needs to be support given to teachers now. So could we bring in a supervisor who didn't have her feet under her instantly? No, we couldn't. So that position was filled, and what we want to do is have her stay and help us build the capacity of our community, and then soon, you know, in the next hiring rotation, our own people will fill those positions.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, for coming in. I appreciate trying to get some of these answers. We could have probably been on a whole nother hour. Lots of questions, lots of things going on. And I hope people would get out and actually go and ask people directly. You know,
well,
I
have inboxed at least 5 people who speak vile and say terrible things on Facebook. And I have asked them to set a meeting up that I would sit and I would talk to them. And every time I've given that invitation for people to call,
okay. Thank you, ladies, for coming in. Coming up next with the 1 o'clock news is Kathleen Speckert. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Anagiwahi.